to the Sister Speak True Blood podcast, where we discuss everything about the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 5. Let's get started.
Okay.
Well, first things first, I guess we need to kind of talk about why we are so late with our 5th episode. This is Sister K, and I have been sick with bronchitis the past couple of weeks, trying to get over it. And as you know, if you've ever had it, you really can't talk without coughing.
Right.
I'm still having a few problems, so I'm going to try to keep the coughing to a minimum and maybe pause, you know, if I have to cough too much.
Okay.
But I don't want to cough people out, but we definitely wanted to do an episode before
Sunday.
Sunday.
Okay.
So here we go. Okay, before we get started, let me just let you know how you can reach us. You can send us an email at sisterspeak@gmail.com. We also have voicemail if you'd like to send us a voice comment at 972-692-7341. And you can also go to our website and you can comment on our podcast there at sistersinterview.com and click on the True Blood link. Now, we did actually have our first email.
Yeah, we did. We had a very nice email from Sister Girl Elizabeth from New York. And Elizabeth writes us, and it's a very nice email.
Very nice.
And it says, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. I finally found a podcast for True Blood that is as good as Jay and Jack with Lost. I don't know who they are, but thank you for the compliment." And then she goes on to say, "You are great sisters. You truly compliment each other, concise and to the point. We aim to be." She says, "I'm a fan from now on. My favorite character on True Blood is Lafayette. He is a beautiful, outrageous character. Eric Pant, and Tara, also, although I miss her not being sassy." You know what, Elizabeth?
I
kind of do too. Then Elizabeth says, "Thank you again. Keep up the great work you are both doing. Proud to be a sister also. Me too." Thank you, Elizabeth. That was very, very
Thank
nice.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
We
that
appreciate it.
Our very first email.
Very first emailer. Thank you. And we also had two very nice comments.
One comment on our website.
Oh, yeah. One comment on our website. And it's from Miss J Squared. Oh, that's cute. Miss J Squared. And she says, "I absolutely love your True Blood podcast. They're my favorite. You two are so funny, and I love the way you interact with each other. You tell it like it is. Keep it going." Well, thank you, Miss J Squared, and what now?
She writes more.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry. My bifocals ain't working too well. And she also says, "Where's the recap from last Sunday's episode? I was really looking forward to your response to Lafayette dancing and Jessica ordering room service." Yeah, well, we're going to get into that as soon as we do the recap. But thank you so much for the comment. And we think, I guess we think we're kind of funny, too. So we enjoy doing the podcast. So we'd like to thank everybody. We like to thank everybody for
I don't think
comments.
Of ourselves as being funny.
I don't think we're funny either, but other people do.
I guess so. Hey, if y'all like it, I like it.
Okay.
Okay, so Miss J, I think it's your turn to do the recap.
Yep, I'm going to do the recap for today. And, you know, if y'all hear some rustling paper, just ignore it because I do have to take notes because, you know, you can't remember every little thing, but there's some things that I want to cover. And as you know, when I do a recap, I like to just like, you know, kind of stay with the one
you
person.
You say that every time. Okay. You don't need to get into all of it. Just do the recap.
Okay, good. Okay, first of all, we're going to start with Jason today. He's at the Light of Day day camp. And Jason is coming back at night. And he sees the dorm room open and all of his dorm mates are laying around with what appears to be blood on them and everything. They're pretending to be killed by vampires. Jason walks in all scared and upset and he's thinking, what? And then Luke jumps in from behind pretending to be a vampire. And he's just getting ready to bite Jason on the neck and then everybody laughs and gets up and stuff. Jason is real mad and Luke says, and Jason cut his lip in the process. And Luke says, oh, I'm sorry about your lip. And Jason says, that's okay, I'm sorry about your nose. And Luke says, what? And Jason punches him in the nose, knocks him down on the floor. Jason is real mad, and he tells them, vampires are no joke. You're either on the dark side or you're on the side of the light. I mean, this boy has really got it. Next, we see Jason at breakfast with the other guys. And, you know, you get a real sense for how ignorant Jason is about the Bible and the stories in the Bible. And he's talking about, well, Jesus must have been the first vampire then. Oh, because, you know, he rose from the dead. Jason is real
We'll talk about that stupid. In our
But anyway, opinion. Okay. Then we hear a woman's voice paging him to go outside to meet Reverend Newland. He meets Reverend Newland out in front, and Reverend Newland's loading this paint gun, saying, let's take a ride. They go out on this vampire. You know how you have those gun ranges where you're pretending like to shoot people and stuff for police officer training? They have one of those gun ranges, but every little pop-up is a vampire. And Jason is, you know, doing his cowboy stuff, shooting all the vampires and everything. And Jason and Steve Newland get to talking, and Jason lets it be known that he has actually seen a vampire staked. Of course, he's talking about Eddie, and Newland is very impressed and probably a little jealous that Jason has actually seen a real vampire staked. Jason and the Newlands, we next see them grilling in the backyard, and while Sarah Newland is cooking the barbecue and getting the boys a beer, Jason is fantasizing about Sarah Newland. It is a hilarious scene. Then when they all go in the house to eat the food that they prepared, Sarah tells Jason that he's been chosen to be a soldier of God. And then Steve further tells Jason that they have an elite army called the Soldiers of the Sun. And they both want Jason to be a member of Soldiers of the Sun. And it's really interesting how both Steve Newland and Sarah Newland are each holding one of Jason's hands as they're saying this. That portends some other stuff that we'll get into later. Now, Jason's back at the dorm room next, and he's telling Luke and the other guys he's moving out because he's going to the Newlands. And, of course, Luke is very jealous, and he starts harassing Jason about, oh, yeah, well, you know, you're really going to be a boy toy for the preacher's wife. So, you know, we know what that's about. And Jason's getting angry. He's talking about, well, Sarah's not like that. He said, oh, you called her by her first name. So, you know, they have some fun with that because Jason is going to live in the Newlands house. So the next scene we see, Jason is unpacking his belongings into this guest bedroom in Newland's house, and in walks Sarah with her little negligee outfit on, you know, talking to Jason. And, of course, Jason's nervous, and she's asking him what you're so nervous about. Poor little dumb Jason. He says, you know, I have never been in a house this nice before, and which is kind of, you know, pitiful. But and so she's kind of grooming him, I think, for, you know, what's coming later. Okay. Next, we have the coroner scene. The coroner scene is a very interesting scene because we get to find out that Miss Jeanette, the coroner says Miss Jeanette had poison in her scratches, which we knew, that paralyzed her. And then her heart, and she was alive when her heart was cut out with precision. With precision, that's what he says. And Bud, the sheriff, and Kendra, the black deputy sheriff, they're, you know, in with the coroner, and they're looking at Miss Jeanette's scratches on her back. And Bud tries to make a joke, and he says, oh, so it must have been a human-animal collaboration. It was a real lame joke. And Kendra looks at him. Kenya. Kenya looks at him, and she says, oh, I love this. She says, oh, I'm sorry. A black woman is paralyzed and gets butchered to death in the town where I live. I didn't realize that was funny. Oh, that was hilarious. I laughed my ass off. Anyway, so as they're looking at the body, Andy comes in and he demands to see the report that Tara made when Tara was arrested for intoxication.
He has the report.
Oh, he has the report because he saw that same pig.
Asking Kenya about the pig.
Yeah, asking about the pig. Bud tells Andy, look, I can't count on you. Hand me your badge. Turn in your badge. And at first, Andy bucks up and says, no, I'm not doing it. And Kenya kind of looks at him like, oh, you don't want me to get in it, do you? And Andy, oh, and he gives Bud his badge and stomps off. Poor Andy. Okay. Then we have Sam and Daphne. Sam and Daphne are swimming in the lake. They chit-chatting. And Daphne saying, oh, you know, I could go for some pancakes. And she's describing this little truck stop. And Sam says, oh, yeah, I know. They make the best pancakes. And she's saying, well, let's go. Let's go get some. And she goes to get out of the water. And, of course, Sam sees all of her scratches on her back. And he's kind of looking kind of puzzled, like,
he didn't know about
what's all them scratches. But yeah, see, he does not know about, you know, Miss Janetta or none of that stuff. Next, we see Sam at Merlot's, his club, putting away vegetables. And Terry's in the kitchen cutting up some vegetables. And Terry's questioning him about leaving. So Sookie's there and she confronts Sam. Oh, you leaving? And so Sam, you know, it's kind of playing her off, saying, well, you know, you weren't around. So, you know, I don't have to tell you everything. He kind of brushes her off. So later that day, or later that same day, or toward evening, then Arlene tells Sam, you know, you need to do something about Andy, because Andy's over in the booth. He's been drinking and drinking all day, you know, trying to figure out this little case with the pig and stuff. So Sam has to cut Andy off and tells Arlene no more drinks. Arlene wants to close Merlot's early to go to Tara's birthday party, which we'll get into next. And Sam says, well, what birthday party? So she kind of tells her, and then Daphne says, ooh, I'd like to go too. And Arlene doesn't seem to like the fact that Daphne is kind of flirting with Sam. So because Sam says, I don't think I'm going. And Daphne says, oh, that's a shame. And Arlene's kind of looking at Daphne like, what's she up to? Well, about that time, Letty Mae, Tara's mama, comes in. And, you know, I thought it was really nice how Sam, you know, addressed her. Hi, Miss Thornton. You know, how are you? She has a birthday present for Tara, but she wants Sam to take it to her. And so Sam agrees, you know, to take the birthday present to Tara. So later on at Tara's party, Sam and Daphne hook up at the party. And that's when they're in the kitchen and, you know, they're almost getting frenzied. And Daphne whispers into Sam's ear, I know what you are, which is interesting because Sam was just about to tell her, I think, that he was. But anyway, okay, let's go on to Tara. Tara and Lafayette. Poor little Tara. This episode, it was Tara's birthday, her 26th birthday. And Tara is talking to Sookie on the phone, and they're making plans for Tara to move in with Sookie, and she's saying, I love you more. So Marianne comes into the little kitchen and says, oh, who do you love more? And she says, oh, that was Sookie. I'm moving in with her. And Marianne's trying to play it off. Oh, okay. And then Tara lets her know, I'm leaving today. So Marianne is like, okay. And she gives her a hug and stuff. And she says, go flourish and don't ever say no to yourself. And Tara's leaving the room and she's looking at her, or, you know, she's got that puzzled look like, what is this woman on? You know. So next we see Tara and Sookie at Sookie's house sitting on the couch. Evidently, Sookie has already told her that she's going to Dallas with Bill, and she's given Tara her birthday present. And the birthday present is a picture of Tara and Sookie and Gran when Tara and Sookie were children. And so they both hug and cry and say how much they miss Gran and everything. And then, you know, Tara starts questioning Sookie about, well, why are you going to Dallas anyway? You know, are you doing some vampire stuff? And Sookie lets her know, well, the only reason I agreed is to get your fool cousin Lafayette, you know, out of the basement. And Tara says, what? And Sookie said, oh, you haven't talked to Lafayette, huh? So the next thing we see is Tara going over to Lafayette's house. I love the way Lafayette talks to her, but he talks to her in a loving way, but he calls her hooker, bitch, all kinds of stuff, you know. But she goes in and she's worried. Lafayette, why didn't you tell me? Why did I have to hear about this from Sookie? And Lafayette's, Sookie need to shut her mouth, and so do you, you know. And so she's trying to, you know, take care of him. He says, look, I don't need you to take care of me. You know, I'm doing fine. And she says, well, I'll just sit here and watch TV with you. It's my birthday. He says, look. That's when he says, look, bitch, I don't have the strength to party with you today or to put up with you today. I just spent 2.5 weeks thinking every minute I was going to be dead. He said, I'm fine. He says, you know. And so as Tara's leaving, Tara says, if you die, I'm going to kill you. Yeah, she said, I'd be pissed. I'd be killing you. So I thought that was kind of funny. Then the next scene, next time we see Tara, she is sitting on her couch in Sookie's house crying. And, you know, she's feeling kind of bad because she's lonely and everything. And it's her birthday. And we find out later that, you know, she always cries on her birthday. Then she hears something creaking on the front porch and she's, you know, getting kind of scared and she's going to the door. And, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, don't open the door. But she opens the door and it's Eggs, Marianne, and Carl surprising her with the birthday party. And Marianne has let her know that she's called all her friends and everybody's going to be over there for a party. Well, we know what that means. So later on, we see Tara at the party and she and Eggs are dancing. And this is when Sam first comes over and he's got the presents and everything. And he gives it to, or Marianne sees him and, you know, they have that conversation. But as the music gets more frenzied and Marianne is working her little self up, Tara and Eggs are dancing. And then Marianne is kind of dancing and she goes outside and she goes into the woods and starts her little shaking stuff. And that starts everybody into a frenzy. And next thing we know, Tara and Eggs are going upstairs and they're having sex. And they have this really kind of, in my opinion, long sex scene where, you know, they're having sex because they're all caught up in frenzy. And that's when, that's what we know about Tara. Now back to Lafayette. After Tara leaves Lafayette's house, we next see Lafayette sitting in his house with the window open. And Eric comes to the window and he says, good evening, Lafayette, or something like that. And Lafayette falls off the couch and he says, what are you doing here? You can't come in unless I invite you. And Eric's trying to tell him, well, you know, you're going to have to come out at some point. And so Lafayette's questioning him like, why do you want to bother with me anyway? He says, because I like you. And Lafayette says, bullshit. Why are you interested in me? And you can see the gleam in Eric's eyes because he appreciates the fact that Lafayette is a smart human being. He's, you know, clever. Like, he likes him. He says, well, now that, you know, I know that you have a relationship with Sookie, anything that has to do with Sookie, I find curious. And so Lafayette says, you know, I'll be fine. Why do you want to do this? He says, well, I came to give you some of my 1,000-year-old blood. And he says, why would you be doing that for me? He says, I'm fine. He says, no, you're not. He said, I could smell your leg. You know, so Lafayette's kind of thinking it over. You can see in his mind. And Eric says, you know, you got to come out sometime. And you know I'm right. And Lafayette says, oh, hell, you know, kind of like to himself. And he pops a pill because, you know, Lafayette be taking those drugs. He pops a pill and then he gets up, I guess, to go let Eric in. The next scene we see Lafayette, he is munching on Eric's wrist, drinking up that blood. And Eric's watching some crazy crap on TV. And Eric tells Lafayette, that's enough. And Lafayette keeps on drinking his blood. Eric flicks him like you flick off of a fly or a piece of lint. Now, we all know Lafayette is a big buffed guy and he's very strong. But Eric flicks him clean across the room, just like he's a little fly. So that lets you know, how powerful Eric is. And then, of course, Eric gets the phone call from Bill and Sookie, which we'll get into, and he has to leave. But the next time we see Lafayette, he comes back.
While Eric is still there.
Yeah, while Eric is still sitting there, he was talking on the phone, and Lafayette is in the background. He jumps into the room, and he is just going wild. He is dancing. He's grinding on the furniture. He is a trip. He's doing the booty dance.
He's humping.
He is humping everything, and he is going, oh, this is great. Oh, it is hilarious. And so when Eric hangs up the phone, the look on Eric's face is priceless. He turns around and he looks at, he gives Lafayette this look like a proud parent would be when they just did like healed their kid or something. It was hilarious to me. And so he's telling Lafayette, I've got to fly. And so Lafayette is humping He's doing the caterpillar across the floor going, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, baby, thank you. Oh, it was hilarious. And then Eric leaves. Okay, so that that is so funny. That's the last we see of Lafayette on that episode. Now, before I get to Bill and Sookie and Jessica, let me go through Marianne right quick. You know, we know that Marianne causes everybody to be frenzied and everything, and we've talked about that. In this episode, we find out that when Sam brings comes to Tara's birthday party, and all those people are there that Marianne always has around, when Sam comes and he tells her, I have this present from Tara's mother, and she tells Sam to go put it on the table. Later on, after Sam is off with Daphne, then Marianne goes and she picks out the present that Letty Mae wrapped up for Tara. She takes it out on the front porch and throws it in the bushes. And then she dances on, she kind of sashays on into the woods, and she starts her little chanting. And that was the same chanting that Marianne was doing when she first met Sookie. And she was trying to keep Sookie from, you know, reading her thoughts and stuff at Merlot's that day. But anyway, Marianne is chanting, and as she's chanting more and more and starting her vibrating, then the people at the party are getting more and more frenzied. You have some people who are undressing. They're practically having sex right there on the dance floor. These two men start fighting over this woman, and this woman falls down on the ground laughing, and she starts eating dirt. Oh, that was nasty. But anyway, I had to look away from the screen. But then we see that Marianne is out there in the woods, and she's taking her hands and she's digging kind of in the dirt kind of up by her feet. And you're seeing slightly that her feet are starting to change into something. They still look like feet, but they're starting to change into something. And then she's making that gesture just like the statue that Sam was going to steal as a boy. She has her arms raised up in that posture, and she has three clawed fingers just like the animal that scratched up Sookie and scratched up and poisoned Miss Jeanette. So we now know Marianne is the Minotaur. That's what that thing is. And she is changing herself into the Minotaur. Now, we didn't see... anyway, so that is how Marianne is on this show. And they don't show her fully changing, but you see her whole arms and her feet are changing. So we now know she is the Minotaur. Okay, now for Bill and Jessica and Sookie, this was a really good episode for them. You know, we last saw Bill when he busted in on Jessica and Hoyt and ordered Hoyt to leave the house because he thought, you know, she was going to bite him. And Hoyt was really mad and saying, you know, I wasn't going to do anything. And he said, son, I'm trying to protect you, not the other way around. And I thought that was really cute. So, and then Jessica looked mortified and Hoyt says, I don't believe anything, you know. And it was really cute because Jessica asked Bill, she says, well, how come my teeth come down every time I get turned on? And then she kind of, you know, put her hands over her mouth and ran upstairs. And it was kind of a cute, tender moment. And so Sookie says to Bill, you know what? Why don't we take Jessica to Dallas with us? You know, it'll do her some good. And, you know, you can kind of help her along. So they decide to take Jessica with them. And, of course, we've already went through the scene where... she told Sookie that, you know, Sookie told Tara that she was going to Dallas and this, that, and the other. Now, next we see Sookie getting off Anubis Airlines. And Anubis Airlines is a vampire airline. And so she's getting off in Dallas. And Sookie arrives. And Bill and Jessica are in their travel coffins. And I thought that was really interesting, their travel coffins. And the driver, Leon, he's a limo driver. He has a big sign that says Compton Party. And Sookie walks up to him. She says, that's me. You know, I'm the Compton Party. And he says, okay, why don't you wait in the limo? And she says, oh, no, that's fine. And he says, well, there's Cokes in there. And she says, oh, no. And so... the way he looks, Sookie starts reading his mind, and he's saying stuff like, "You stupid bitch, you need to get in the limo." And then he grabs Sookie, and Sookie, of course, screams. Bill jumps out of that coffin like in 2 seconds, and he's got his hands around Leon's throat saying, you know, "You about to die." Next, we see Bill and Jessica and Sookie. They're in the back of the limo, and Bill is trying to question Leon, and he's just starting to glamour him. And then he decides, he says, "Jessica, would you like to try?" And of course, Jessica's like a kid when you tell him, "Okay, I'll give you the car keys." You know, she's, "Oh yeah." So he's teaching Jessica how to glamour a person. And I thought that was pretty, pretty nice. And so Bill is trying to tell Sookie that it was probably that Fellowship of the Sun church that was trying to snatch her. And Sookie just doesn't believe it. She says, "Oh no, you know, they're a church. They don't do stuff like that." And Bill's trying to tell her, you know, through the centuries, churches have done all kinds of things, you know. Anyway, so the next scene we have, they are checking into the hotel room. And the woman says that she's got him a room, a bare room with no bed. And so Bill and Sookie look at each other and realize, that was Eric. So Sookie says, "No, we need a room with a bed." And then Bill says, "And we need an adjoining room for my ward," is what he's going to be referring to Jessica as. So while they're at the check-in desk, Jessica is still glamoring Leon, and she's telling Leon to say these horrible things about a classmate that she had in school. And so Leon is shouting all this stuff, and Bill turns around and yells at her, "Jessica," real loud, and she's laughing and giggling. And so he says to the hotel clerk, "She's new." I thought that was great. Next, we see Bill and Sookie upstairs in their room. They're trying to make out, and there's a knock on the door, and it's Eric. And Eric says, "I need to talk to you." And he says, "Meet me in the bar." So Bill gets up and goes down to meet Eric in the bar. And, of course, Sookie is, you know, standing upstairs. And Sookie and Jessica. And when Bill is talking to Eric, they're talking about Godric and, you know, why they're there and stuff. And, excuse me. And Bill is saying that, you know, he's very concerned about Godric because Godric is twice as old as he is. And Bill is saying, well, you know, if he's twice as old, I mean, you know, what's he doing, Sheriff? And Eric looks real irritated. And he says, "Godric could have been king of Texas if he had wanted." I thought that was hilarious. And he says, if, you know, one such as he, such as old and powerful as he could be taken, then what does that say for the rest of us? So Eric is also trying to tell Bill that vampires in Texas, anyway, they're like cowboys. And if they don't get Godric back, then they're going to start killing humans. And Eric says, well, you know, they certainly wouldn't show open aggression toward humans, would they? And excuse me, Bill says that, and Eric says, well, yeah, this is Texas. Oh, I thought that was hilarious. Anyway, so that's their conversation. But back up in the hotel room, Sookie is channel surfing on the TV, and she sees that they have vampire adult porn. It is hilarious. And she's kind of going, ew. Then there's a knock on the door. And the bellhop, whose name is Barry, comes in, or he stands there, and he says, "Male, straight, B negative." And Sookie's going, huh? And Jessica appears at the door and says, "I think that's for me." And around walks this really cute little guy named Travis. I think that's what he says his name is. And that's her room service meal, I guess. So Jessica's giggling, and she takes him and leads him back to her room. And Sookie is thinking in her mind, ooh, I hope that boy's 21. And Barry says out loud, because he can hear her, read her thoughts, oh, yes, he's over 21. And Sookie, you read my mind. He says, well, sure, I can read your mind. And then Barry remembers, uh-oh. So Barry runs down the hall, and Sookie says, wait. And she's running after him down the hall. And that's the end of the episodes. So that's the recap.
Good job.
I like this episode a lot.
Yes.
Of course, my all-time favorite blowout scene is Lafayette. Oh, I love Lafayette. I mean, he needs an award.
He needs
all kind of Oscars, Emmys, whatever. He is just so good. But that was hilarious, though. But I'm thinking, okay, Bill's blood, you know, he'll suck you and everything. But Eric's thousand-year-old blood, ooh, we're going to see what it can do.
Well, it healed Lafayette quick.
I mean, immediately. Yeah. It was like...
And then he was also, like,
hyped up.
High.
Yeah. He was hyped up. Like, energetic. It was hilarious.
Now, I think Eric's got, you know, some more ulterior motives as to why he wants to keep Lafayette alive.
I think so.
And Lafayette was kind of peeping that out. He's like, why do you want to track me?
Yeah.
Why do you want to be able to track me? Because he knows that...
Once you get their blood, they can track you. It's like a LoJack.
Yeah. But he also knew that his leg was getting worse, so he had to do something.
Now, what's going to be interesting is how Lafayette explains all that to Tara. Because, see, Tara saw him with those wounds in his body and the gunshot wound on his leg. Now he's all healed up.
Well, you know, who knows when he'll next see her.
Oh, he's going to see her, I'm sure.
But you don't know how long it's going to take.
Well, that's true.
So he could just say, I'm healed up, you know.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, that was a very, excuse me, very interesting scene. And I knew that Eric wasn't done with Lafayette yet. I just didn't know what he wanted with him.
I know. But I am so glad that Eric didn't kill him. But you know what? I have to say, though, I can see why people are really... enamored with Eric, though. He was looking really good in this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks really handsome. He really does.
Yeah.
And he's tall, and he's just so cool and calm, though. You know? He's looking real good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm also glad that they did not make Lafayette a vampire. Because I think he would have lost himself. He would have... I don't know. I don't know how they would have written it, but I think... It would have lost something if he was a vampire.
And you know what? I just thought of something else, too. Isn't it interesting how they don't glamour him? They have not tried to glamour him.
Who?
The vampires. Eric, Pam, or Chow.
Why do they need to?
Well, but I'm just thinking about it, though. Yeah.
They don't have a reason to glamour him.
Yeah,
I
guess not. Yeah. And especially now, you know. So now Eric has his own little human pet.
I don't think it's going to be like that, though.
I think it's going to be like
that.
I
don't.
I think he's going to...
I think he'll use Lafayette because he knows Lafayette has resources.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and he'll probably try to use Lafayette to try to... figure out what happened to Godric.
Yeah, because Lafayette has those drugs.
Try to figure out who's trafficking, you know, the blood across state lines. But I don't think he's going to... use him to feed on and all that kind of stuff. I don't
think he's gonna do that. No, I don't think he'll do that either. So what do you think about Marianne?
Well, I had a feeling that she was the behind the scratches last week.
Yeah.
And
I think they're called Minotaur. Or
I know you kept mentioning Minotaur that. I don't know if that's what she is, but I was thinking last week that she was behind the scratches because nothing else kind of made sense.
Right.
And that statue she has in the house and just all the different positions that she puts herself in all match that creature.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that she was trying to keep Sookie away from Tara or, you know, get Sookie out of the way. Yep. And you could tell on her face when... she knew that Tara was talking to Sookie. She was like, oh, well.
Yeah, yeah.
My scratch didn't work.
Yeah, see.
She's like, Sookie's alive and talking. Damn.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but she tried to play it off.
Yeah, I caught that, too.
She played it off pretty good. Mm-hmm. But Tara was just through. Mm-hmm. You know, she was through and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad Tara kind of stood up and was like, I don't feel like dancing. You know, I'm going to be leaving. Thank you for all your help, but I'm going.
Yeah, yeah, see.
And I kept thinking, okay, what is Marianne going to do? I know she's going to do something. What's she
going
to do?
Well, I think Marianne's going after Letty Mae. That's what I think. She's changing into that creature for a reason. She's going somewhere with that.
Oh, I don't know.
I think she's going to get Letty Mae because she wants Letty Mae out of a Sookie's life.
Letty Mae?
Excuse me, Tara's life.
Oh.
Yeah. When she threw Letty Mae's present in the bushes, and then she went out to the woods to change herself into that beast, I think she's going after Letty Mae.
Oh, I don't see that at all.
Yeah, I think so.
I just don't think she wants Tara anywhere around her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Or wants her to think that her mother cares about her.
I think she's going after her.
Well.
But we'll see, though.
Yeah,
but
we'll have to see.
But I do not like Tara with eggs. Oh, I don't like that.
I really did like that scene where they were dancing.
Yeah, she was dancing.
I love the music they were playing, mm-hmm. the music. And then, of course, I love her outfit.
Right. But did you see how the tempo changed to that music, though?
Yeah.
That was so good. Yeah. But yeah, Tara is a very good actress, and she was jamming. And I was glad to see that she was dancing like black people dance. You know? Lord. Oh, hey, you know I got to say it because sometimes in these shows,
Well, I thought it was funny how she was acknowledging how all those people were there, but she didn't know who they were.
But she liked their presence.
And then she was getting all the pressure. She's like, well, who are all these people and what friends are you trying to cop?
Mm-hmm.
But then they got kind of caught up too, but they still didn't have their eyes black. At least they didn't show it.
Well, Tara and Eggs did not.
Right, right.
But the other people did.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. But that woman eating that dirt, dang. I had to look away from the screen. That just really unnerved me.
That was unnerving.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was like they were turning into pigs. Did you notice that?
Oh, wait a minute.
Because as they were getting really frenzied, that's the first thought I thought of was when she fell into the dirt and they were all running in the dirt and then she started eating the dirt. I'm like, that's just like a pig.
That didn't even occur to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is good. That's good.
So I'm wondering.
Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
That's how come she's always got a pig around.
Well, that's Carl. That big fat pig is Carl.
Well, that lady was turned into a pig. Or something was happening to where she was acting like pigs. They root in the dirt.
Yeah, they do. Mm-hmm. They do. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. That's good, Siska. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't even think. My mind wasn't even
that's
going
what
there.
I thought of when
that's
I saw
very
that.
Good.
It mm-hmm. was a very disturbing scene, though.
Yeah, that disturbed me. I found it very disturbing.
Yeah,
so.
It was disturbing, but it was. I mean, going with the character.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I'm glad that they kind of acknowledged that Marianne was what she was. Now we gotta find out what that is.
Yeah.
And why she's doing all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the reasoning? And I also want to find out about Daphne mm-hmm. and why. I mean, I think that she's influencing Daphne because of the scratches and the poison she's got.
Right.
Obviously.
But I think Daphne's a shapeshifter also. I think Daphne was Dean. Or she shifted to be Dean, the other little dog, when Sam was...
No, Dean
running.
Was Sam. That's what Sookie called the dog that we now know was Sam.
Oh.
Now, there is another dog running around, but that's not Daphne, because that scene where he's running into the water and the dog runs uh-huh. off... Daphne comes and they pass each other. They're the dog and Daphne.
Okay.
It wasn't Daphne.
Okay.
I don't think she's a shapeshifter at all. I think she's been scratched and she's under the influence of Marianne.
Yeah.
And Marianne knows he's a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
So now Daphne knows.
That's true. Okay.
Now,
yeah.
I don't think Sam was going to tell her he was a shapeshifter.
I think he was going to tell
her. I don't think so.
I've got something to tell you, because he likes her.
No, I don't think he was going to tell her that. I think he was going to tell her, me and Marianne have a past, or, you know, I'm leaving mm-hmm. soon, which she kind of knew. I mm-hmm. don't think he would do that, because what reason would you have to tell someone that you're a shapeshifter? He didn't tell Sookie. He didn't tell Tara. Sookie found out, because he fell asleep on her bed.
That's true.
So I don't think he was going to say that.
I just assumed he was going to say that because he had told Marianne earlier, go ahead and change me to a dog. Then we can see what you are.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because he looked really shocked when she said, I know what you are.
Mm.
He looked shocked like, oh, yeah. Okay, how? And, you know.
Yeah.
So I want to see, I'm hoping the next episode they kind of go more into that. And so we could see his reaction. Because then, as soon as she said that, he's shocked. And then she takes him outside. Mm-hmm. So we don't get to see, you know, does he ask her, well, how do you know? Or what do you think you know? Or, you know, mm-hmm. what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. We don't see any of that. So what did you think about the whole Jason becoming a soldier of the light?
Oh, you know what? Jason's whole storyline, it was other than Lafayette dancing, that was the comic relief in this whole episode. That's where I'm looking at it. Because he is too funny. It is too funny. That boy is so clueless.
No, you know what? That scene you were talking about, you thought he was stupid, where they were talking about the Bible and mm-hmm. the first vampire. Actually, all the correlations he was making sense.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. Because they were telling him about all these things in the Bible. He's like, well, if that's the case, then would Jesus made the first vampire? And they're all frustrated trying to tell him.
They are so frustrated.
Like, but he's like putting it together. Well, he rose from the dead. And he was trying to give people his blood. I mean, it makes sense.
It was just so it was funny. Ignorant.
It was funny. And I like the fact that he stands up to that Luke.
I do too.
I don't like Luke. And well, I like the fact that he stands up to him mm-hmm. and isn't afraid of him. And he's, even though that Luke dude's bigger, mm-hmm. he's like, I'm not putting up with your bull.
Well, now Jason can fight though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he can't fight. He might be littler, but he can't fight.
And that Luke guy, obviously you can tell he hates women.
Uh-huh.
I think he's kind of funny anyway because he's always up in Jason's mess.
He's jealous of Jason. That's for sure.
Yeah. But I think he might want Jason mm-hmm. too.
Well, now that we on to that subject, see, this is what I'm thinking about the Newlands. I think both the Newlands, Steve and Sarah, want to be sleeping with Jason.
Could be.
Yeah. Because just the way that Steve Newland talks to him and interacts with Jason, and he clearly sees or put his wife up to flirting and sleeping with Jason, or he wants to sleep with Jason. But I think he might want to sleep with Jason too.
Well, it could be.
Yeah, and especially where that's what I meant by each one of them, Steve and Sarah,
holding his hand,
talking about, oh yeah, you're gonna be a soldier. God. And I'm thinking, oh, both of these folks. So this is what I'm thinking. I told somebody at work. I said, I think what might be happening is, you know, either he's gonna be having sex with the wife, and the husband comes in and just slips right on into bed with him, or something.
I don't know about that. I think they're showing Jason having all those feelings for her. But so far, she hasn't really... I mean, he was fantasizing about her.
That was the funniest scene.
That was a good
scene.
That
was funny.
And I like the song they were playing, whatever song that was.
I like the music. Yeah, mm-hmm. I like the music.
But so far, she hasn't shown any of that yet. Mm-hmm. Or she hasn't reciprocated it yet.
Well, but that's because she's grooming him.
Right,
they're grooming him. It seems to me, though, especially all the things that she says and does for him, ever since he ran out of that little therapy group room or whatever, uh-huh. That little meeting, she has been grooming him, because that's what people do when they're grooming you,
right.
You know, for something.
Right.
So, yeah, she's definitely grooming him.
Yeah, there's no doubt they both like him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're both liking him.
Oh, that's going to be a mess. That's going to be a mess.
And then the whole storyline with... Now, I really, really liked Bill and Sookie this episode.
I did too.
And the whole dialogue conversation. Excuse me. First of all, I love how they're matching or going back to how Sookie was in the first season and also in the books, which you hate to talk about, but she's very positive and always trying to look at the good and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that came out, especially when he was trying to kick Hoyt out. She was trying to protect Hoyt because she's like, shit, I don't know what Bill's going to do. Because we've already seen Bill get crazy acting.
And he was crazy acting.
He was pissed.
Yeah, because he was mad.
But it made sense later when he talked about how mm-hmm. he was envious that Jessica can now be out in the open.
And she can choose.
And she can choose if she wants to be out in the open or whatever. But he really thought she was feeding on him, so he was mad because he told her, there's not going to be any feeding in this house.
Yeah, that was a very revealing conversation because he said, because humans were, but did you see his face? He says, humans were food. That's all they were. And now it's a new reality that, you know, Jessica has in that she can choose.
Yes. You know? Then the whole scene when they threw Hoyt out and Hoyt looked at her and says, I don't believe it. I know you wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was sweet.
That was very sweet.
Yeah. And her eyes start tearing up.
Yep. And she was like, you know, I know you feel bad for making me who I am, but I like him. And I haven't ever kissed a boy, and I wasn't going to do anything, and that was really cute. And that I liked when Sookie was like, I'm going to like her. Because she likes that she is outspoken and says how she feels, and it's kind of funny. And I like when Bill says, don't think y'all can be girlfriends.
I know.
But that's exactly what they're going to be.
That's what they're going to be. And you know what? I'm loving that relationship between Sookie and Jessica.
I am, too.
Because Jessica kind of looks... to Sookie like a big sister kind of. But Jessica understands she's a lot more powerful than Sookie.
Right.
But I like that relationship.
And I like that Jessica is still a girl.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not making her be a crazy, crazed vampire.
Exactly.
They're letting her be a girl first that's not a killer. I mean, she is a killer, but I like that.
But when she orders that room service, oh my God, that is hilarious.
That was funny.
And he was a cute little guy. He just comes strutting in like, okay, here, I'm your meal. You know, what they say, a male straight B negative. That was hilarious.
Jessica was fun. Good.
I love
it. And I like the way Sookie was telling Bill, now this is your opportunity to teach her, bring her with us so that you can spend. And you know, that line was really a good line too. When she says, you know what, you need to bring her with us so that you can start teaching her how to be vampire and human. She goes, I don't think you like vampires very much, even though you are one. And that is, that was the perfect line because it's so true.
It's so true. People do that, but
it's
people
so
do
true.
That. That is a commentary on our society today. That was excellent. Yeah, I really like that.
Well, and there's how he kind of acts too. It's like he's trying to give up.
But
everything.
He admitted it though. He said, yes.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be conflicted.
Yeah, he says, I'm vampire.
I'm supposed to be tormented.
I'm supposed to be tormented.
Yeah.
And he is tormented.
But that was a very good line. And then I like the fact how she was saying, look, you are the one who can teach her how to be both and how not to be what everybody thinks a vampire is going to be.
But I'm liking what they're doing with Bill, too, because in all season one, in my opinion, what we most saw was the gentleman. He was always a gentleman and stuff. And this season, I mean, he's still a gentleman, but we see his ruthlessness and his vampire side, meaning that, you know, he could kill you.
He can get ugly if you
want. Yeah, he can get ugly quick. So, you know, I'm liking that. And I like that. And I like his interaction with Eric because Bill knows he can only go so far.
Well, he pushes it.
He pushes it to the envelope, but he can only go so far. And then when Eric has to let him know that, then all Bill does is look. You know that look he gives Eric,
like
out of the corner of his eye, like shit.
Shit.
I know.
If only I was 1,000 years old.
I know.
Or he's got me there.
I'm liking that too, so. But I hope Tara gets away from Eggs, though. I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy.
Yeah, I want to know what the whole point of that is.
Yeah. Marianne's got something in mind, though.
Yeah, I think, you know.
Because she's went through a lot of little workings just to get them two together.
Right.
So.
Exactly.
There's some ulterior motive there. And
then the last scene that we see is, you know, when Barry brings up that person for Jessica. And I love the way they did the scene where she's thinking and he just answers off the top of his head.
Yeah, because he forgot.
Wait a minute, I didn't say that out loud. He's like, oh, shit. Barry, just play it off. And then he runs. That was so
good. And I hope they start with that like Sunday.
They're going to have, there's no way they can avoid that.
Yeah.
There's no way to avoid it. I like that story, that storyline. So
it's going to be interesting to see, you know, why Barry's there, how long he's been there. Are there other people like him? Like, does he have a family and they're all like that or, you know, whatever. So that's going to be good. Because, see, they're in a whole different city. And, well,
right,
state, too.
Dallas.
So, you know.
I will say that's one storyline that is in the book. So I'm not going to comment too much on it. Plus, I can't remember. It's been so long since I read the book. But that's one storyline that is in the book about Barry.
Well, I love Eric's comments about Texas. He could have been the king of Texas. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that was hilarious.
Yeah, because there are kings and queens. There's another, I can't remember what episode it was. Mm-hmm. Remember he's talking about the queen, mm-hmm. taking up with the queen, mm-hmm. or that guy that sentenced Bill.
He's called, every time Eric says this word, I'm thinking magistrate, but that's not what he's saying. He said magister or something like that. But that's that guy with Cain.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a magistrate, so.
Yes. I
love that.
I like hearing,
he could have been king of Texas.
I like hearing more about the whole vampire hierarchy.
Yeah, that's and how interesting. That's,
how that works. Mm-hmm. And so I really hope we get to figure out who, or they tell us more about Godric and what's going on, which I think they will mm-hmm. this coming up episode.
Yeah. I wonder who's going to be playing Godric, I wonder. Have you heard anything?
I haven't looked it up. I know that's out there. I just haven't looked it up.
Yeah, because I do know, I was reading something where sometime this episode, probably toward, not this episode, this season, probably toward the end, we're going to see the queen.
Oh, yeah. That
she's going to make an appearance. But I want to know what Marianne is. Point blank, I want to know. And then I want to know if there's other people like Sam or like Marianne, you know, other little creatures. And like, where's the werewolves? Wasn't there supposed to be some werewolves in there somewhere?
No.
Oh, I thought there was. No. Okay.
Now, one other thing that was interesting was Bill questioning Eric about why he's so concerned about Godric.
Yeah.
And then in our spoiler section, I guess we can go into that.
Okay, yeah, let's wait.
Which is scenes for next season, next mm-hmm. week or this mm-hmm. week. So if y'all don't want to hear about the scenes for next week, just shoot ahead about 5 minutes.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Really not.
Okay.
I mean, I think most people watch the scenes for next week.
Some people do not.
Well, in the scenes for next week, they show Bill further asking Eric, what is it really? Tell me why. You are really concerned. Mm-hmm. What's the real reason behind you wanting to find out about Godric?
Right.
And so there's obviously a story there.
Something.
Mm-hmm. There's something there as to why, and Bill's suspicious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you care about the Dallas?
Maybe Godric is Eric's maker, since he's twice as old as Eric.
It could be, but would he care? I mean, Bill's trying to figure out, why do you care
Well, also, in an upcoming scene, Bill's maker is going to be back.
Yes, we know. Yes.
Yeah, she's going to be back. So.
But no, he's asking Eric point blank, why do you care about Godric? Why does it matter?
There's
if he's
something.
Missing?
There's something.
Oh, yeah, there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
Bill's trying to pinpoint it.
Yeah. We're going
to
find out.
He's trying to keep Sookie out of the whole mm-hmm. situation.
But she's not.
Especially now that he knows they were trying to kidnap her.
Mm-hmm. But she's not. She's not going to ever be out of the stuff.
No.
Because Eric has let him know, no, she will never be.
We're using her whatever we can use her for.
Period. Yeah. So,
He's also intrigued by her, so he's not going to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
So, I
agree. And also, in upcoming episodes, I don't know if it necessarily will be this next one, but Tara does question Eggs further about what is he to Marianne.
Mm-hmm.
He says something to the effect, we look out for each other, we help each other, or something like that. And so Tara's looking like, uh-oh, what is this? What's this shit? You know?
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting too.
Yeah. And I was thinking, too, the whole time they were showing the party,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, if that was my house, even though I'm in Dallas, I'd be pissed off if I had all the people in my house running around in my house.
But she don't know that.
She don't know it, but I'd be, you know, I kept thinking that.
But when she gets back, she might be. She might be mad.
Yeah, I'm sure she will be.
You know, she might.
And especially knowing that Marianne was
right,
in her house.
Because she don't really like that Marianne.
No.
No. She didn't get a good feeling from that Marianne.
No.
So, and she heard her doing that chant.
Yeah.
So, you know. But I think Sookie's going to be too caught up
with
Barry and that whole scenario.
Yeah.
To even care.
What I do like is how we're only on the fourth episode. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten so far along mm-hmm. in the story. And I hope that continues since we only have 12 mm-hmm. total episodes to go. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that we're able to actually get through and find out real stuff by the end.
That would be nice. That would be nice because...
I know there's going to have to be some there's always going to have to be cliffhangers and stuff, but I'm hoping that we're able to get far enough in the story that some things are wrapped up kind of like last time. Mm-hmm. So we're not left hanging with everything, mm-hmm. you know? Okay. But it was I really enjoyed this past episode.
Yeah, it was very good, really very good. It. So now we're you know, all caught up and we'll be ready for Sunday. And
well, before we close out, I wanted to mention that we had two comments on our iTunes page.
Oh, and you know, I forget that you can comment on iTunes.
Yeah, you can rate your favorite podcasts or shows and also put a comment. So we had two different comments. One from Kit Kat Kool-Aid.
Oh, I love that name.
Titled, Great New Podcast, gave us 5 stars. Wow. I really like the Sisters podcast. They give a very thorough review of the episode, followed by opinions and feedback from the Sisters. I just want to sit with them over a cup of coffee and talk about True Blood. The sound quality of this podcast is excellent, unlike other True Blood podcasts I've tried to listen to. I'm really looking forward to hearing more. Keep it up, Sisters. And thank you, Val.
Thank you, Val. That's very nice.
That was great.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah.
I kind of would like to improve the sound quality, like get some different equipment. But, I mean, so far, so good, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, we do try to do our podcast just like, you know, we would be just sitting on the couch talking. Because I know what you mean, Val, because when we first start doing podcasts and we discussed, you know, what the format is and kind of what we would do. The whole reason that we even started podcasting is because we like the format. You know, so many of the podcasts, they try to get so stylized that, you know, I just wanted some people to sit what do you think?
There's some podcasts like that I really like that have really produced well.
Sometimes
you just want to hear what people think.
Yeah.
More than having the production value. So
that's true.
Just kind of simple people. So we're just going to keep it simple.
Well, and you know, we're kind of unique because we have a different perspective because we're Black. So, you know, that does give you a different perspective because you don't always get that perspective.
No,
so,
you don't.
Thank you, Val, very much.
Thank you.
And didn't we have another one?
Yes, we did. We had another one, from Podcast Addict. Titled, Love This Podcast, another 5-star rating.
Oh, great.
And they say, Sister Speak is the best. I feel like I'm sitting right there with them discussing the show, and they are so funny. Thank you. The sound quality is also very good. They do a great job reviewing the show. I highly recommend this podcast to all fans of True Blood. Keep up the great work.
Well, thank you very much, Podcast Addict.
That was very nice.
Very nice, and we appreciate it. And, you know, I guess we have to admit that we're funny because so many people say that, but while we're actually doing it, we're not trying to be funny. At least I'm not, you know, but I'm glad people are enjoying it anyway. So
I am too. Yeah. I'm happy about that.
And we have a lot of fun doing it, you know.
A ton of fun. My favorite thing is to sit around and kind of debate and ask people their thoughts about, not debate, but
no,
ask people.
Debate was the right word.
No, that's you. Mm-hmm. That's you. You like to debate. I like to kind of figure out what other people think because I'm always trying to figure out what's going on. Sometimes I don't always catch.
That's true.
All the little nuances. So I'm always asking, okay, now what do you think is going on with this?
Yeah.
And what do you think is going on with that?
Well, like.
Can we do that?
That pig comment about the pig assessment about the lady eating the dirt, I hadn't even thought of that. That was really good.
Yeah, that was my first thought. And really I know we hadn't. We talked about True Blood, but we didn't really get into it. I try to save a lot of it for our podcast. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I had kind of forgotten that. That was one of my first thoughts when I saw that. I was like, oh, that's nasty. And it's kind of like what a pig does.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know how that woman did that scene.
Maybe they put some chocolate in
maybe
that dirt or something.
Maybe it was brownies or something.
Or cookie dough powder
brownie
or something.
Mix.
Yeah. Because it was nasty.
I couldn't do it.
Oof, that was cool.
Actors, y'all, I don't know how y'all do it.
Yeah, I don't either.
But anyway, so thank y'all so much for all the comments on our website, the email from Elizabeth, and the 2 comments on iTunes.
Right. So
really love that feedback, and it just kind of keeps us going for more.
Right. And so, you know, we encourage all our fans to, like, you know, drop us an email and stuff. And if you don't mind, you know, we will be reading it on our podcast, and leave us a voicemail and we'll play that too.
Our voicemail line is 972-692-7341.
Yep.
If you'd like to send us an email, it's sistaspeak@gmail.com. And you can also go to our website and you can comment there at sistasinreview.com and click on the True Blood link to get to the True Blood site.
Right.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back shortly in a couple of days with Episode 5's podcast. Right. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next week.